Hey everybody, this is episode number 98.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 98 of Road Trekking, the RV Lifestyle Podcast. Hey, it is not about the machine, it is about the shared adventure. So no matter what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you. Because here we talk about being outside, being there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering great places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So, welcome. We're so honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. And this episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast, brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. By Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. By Good Sam, the nation's most popular RV organization with 1.6 million members. Allstays, the internet's number one camping app. That's the only one you need. Been that way since 2010. The best app out there for RVing. And our new sponsor, Rad Power E-Bikes, offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes. We got a great deal for you. If you use the name Road Trekking when you buy, you'll save $75. That's pretty good, huh? Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about budgeting. We've had a question from a reader, and I've got lots of feedback from the road trekking community that we'll share. Jennifer and I will talk about how we budget and what to expect when you're out there on the road. I think you'll find this interesting if you're just starting off, or maybe even if you've been out there for a while, you'll get some ideas. That's coming up. We have lots of RV news, a couple of really good news RV stories that you'll want to listen to our news of the week. We've got some tech tips. We've got an off-the-beaten-path report. But right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we're coming to everybody tonight from Memphis, Tennessee.
And it's warm and humid here, too. But it's warm and humid, I think, across the whole country.
I just was reading a story that said temperature indexes in the hundreds throughout most of the country this week. And a lot of people have been watching both the Republican convention last week, the Democratic National Convention this week. They're all talking about how hot it is in Philadelphia, how hot it was in Cleveland. Well, we've been down in Florida and Mississippi and Alabama, and it's hot there.
It's hot down here.
And it's hot in the western part of the country. So.
And it's called summer.
It's called summer.
And some summers are hotter than other summers.
And, you know, it's all good. We are back in our road trek and back on the road, and we're in Memphis, Tennessee, because we're at the World Series.
That's right. Our youngest grandson is playing in the World Series, so we are here.
He's in the Dizzy Dean Little League 10-year-old team, and they advanced to the Final Fours. So they're in the championship. They're one of the top four baseball teams in the 10-year-old category in the country, and we're hoping they go all the way over the next couple of days.
Yeah, the only thing that might cause them not to play is there's a chance of rain tomorrow.
Yeah, we haven't
Wednesday had, when this airs.
Yeah, so we're looking to see if that rain does not get too bad, but we're pretty excited about that. It's always fun to be here. We're with Bo. Bo is with us, and we're actually in another La Quinta Inn because we did get our road trek back. Many of you have asked. We've had lots of work. We have a prototype air conditioning unit from ProAir, a terrific company in Elkhart, Indiana. And we're remodeling it. I guess we're redoing it. I guess we had the prototype, and now we're getting some advanced stuff, some new technology with air conditioning. And we're going to actually stop in Elkhart on the way back to Michigan in the next day or two and see learn a little bit more about this really cool air conditioning system that they got.
I think it'll be interesting to go to the factory.
Yep. Yeah. Elkhart's kind of like what Detroit is to the auto industry. That's what Elkhart is to the RV industry.
I have always wanted us to go there and visit some of the different factories and have you do a bunch of stories, because I think everybody who has an RV would be interested in that.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing town. Indiana is doing really well economically, and a big reason is because of the RV industry. But anyway, tonight we're in Memphis, Tennessee. We made our way here from the Emerald Coast of Florida up through Alabama and Mississippi. And
some pretty country.
Beautiful country. Even if it's hot, it's still beautiful. And we had had a great trip. Everybody wants to know how Bo is doing, and we've got, in fact, your tip coming up in a second is about Bo, but Bo's traveling quite well with this.
Yes, I was thinking last week's tip with Bo with his gel bed to keep him cool. Bo didn't have enough to do, and he decided to chew a hole in his cool bed.
Yeah,
so I had to toss it.
We got two tips in a row about Bo, actually, that one and then one this one week, but... Yeah, Bo ate his gel bed.
Yeah, and the gels started coming out, and I thought, you know, that can't be good for him. So you got to keep a pup busy.
Yep, yep.
Just like a kid. You turn your back on them, and if they're quiet, they're doing something they shouldn't be.
Yeah, isn't that the case? And he's 8 months old now, and he's pretty much full grown. But, boy, he is a puppy. He's got energy, as you'll talk about, I'm sure, in a couple of minutes. But anyway, we're anxious to see how our son Jacob does with Dizzying League World Series. They're on the 10-year-old champion All-Stars from Albany, Georgia, and they're competing up here in Memphis.
And we have to find a place for Bo to go because it is so hot and humid here.
Yeah, Bo's going to go in doggy daycare tomorrow. We'll let you know about that. All right, we'll get to Jennifer's Tip of the Week in just a moment, but this part of the podcast is brought to you by one of our new sponsors, Rad Power Bikes. Just check them out at radpowerbikes.com. This is an electric bike manufacturer that offers direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. Have you seen these electric bikes? They are amazing. They just do terrific things. But what we really like about Rad Power Bikes is that they offer direct-to-consumer pricing. And these are premium electric bikes that they make. But because they sell direct to you, the consumer, you will not see the large retail markup that would normally be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer, which ensures you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. And if you mention when you buy Road Trekking, make sure you mention Road Trekking, you'll get $75 off the already excellent cost. They make three different e-bike models, fits a wide variety of rider wants and needs. All three of these models can reach 20 miles an hour with no pedaling at all. All three give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, to utilize five different levels of pedal assist when you do your pedaling yourself for an added boost or a combination of the two. These e-bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into riding, but maybe you're recovering from surgery or injury, or you're looking for an extra boost to keep up with your friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles an hour, 20 and 40 miles distance on a single charge with these e-bikes, and they go about 20 miles an hour. They're priced less than half the price of comparable bikes on the market because dealer retail markets are cut out. The only thing stronger than their customer service at Rad Power e-bikes is their passion for the market. RadPowerBikes.com. Check them out and use the code Road Trekking, and you will save an extra $75.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Many of you know that we've been traveling this summer with Bo, our new Norwegian Elkhound puppy. Bo is almost 8 months old and a bundle of energy. Mike and I, we call him Mr. Enthusiasm. He loves the road trekking lifestyle, and he brings us a lot of joy as we watch him take to life on the road and all the adventures he's having. But there's one thing we're not happy about with Bo. And that's his fur. In other words, he is shedding. He is a big dog with a thick, healthy, double coat of long hair. And with the heat and humidity we've been experiencing lately, Bo is leaving lots of very visible traces of his presence behind. That's why we are so glad to have discovered the Furminator Pet De-shedding tool. This is a very special brush. It is expensive. It's $45 on Amazon and over $50 at pet stores, but we think it's worth every bit of that. The stainless steel de-shedding edge reaches deep beneath his top coat to gently remove loose hair. One swipe and it makes you a believer. It reduces shedding better than any brush or rake or comb that we've ever used. The manufacturer says it reduces shedding by up to 90%, and we believe it. The tool comes with a great ejector button that cleans and removes loose hair from the tool with ease. And Bo actually seems to like it. In this heat, getting rid of all that excessive fur and hair makes for a very happy puppy. Mike and I like it because there's much less dog hair in the RV, so the Furminator makes us all happy campers. Do you have a tip you'd like to share? Use the leave a voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com website to record your suggestions. I love hearing from you. See you next week.
The tip of the week is brought to you by Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. I want you to go to a website, if you will. Take a note of this, or you can go to the roadtrekking.com blog, look at the show notes section, which is roadtrekking.com/98. Here's the link that I want you to go to, though. It's goodsam.com/roadtrekking. Now, goodsam.com, that's their main website, but add that slash and road trekking and you'll get a special deal. You can join for $27. That's a really great price. A year's membership at Good Sam for $27, but here's the thing. It's really going to only cost you $2 because you get then a voucher good for $25 off on your first night stay at one of the affiliated Good Sam RV parks and campgrounds. And when I say one of them, you got a lot to choose from because there are 2,100 of them all over the country. That's not the only place you're going to save. Every time then thereafter, after you get that $25 off, you will then save 10% on the nightly rate at any Good Sam RV park or campground that you book through for the whole length of your membership. You save other ways, too. You save on fuel when you stop at a Pilot Flying J and you use your Good Sam Club card there. You tell them about that. Give them your number. You will get a discount there. And you save on accessories at Camping World. And there are Camping Worlds all across North America. Camping World, of course, is the Good Sam Club's official RV accessory retailer. What do you get with the Good Sam Club membership? Well, you get all sorts of stuff besides those discounts. You get RV services that you can count on, special prices, an action line, online RV trip planning, lots and lots of stuff. Just go to that website I told you about. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking, and you will have all sorts of ways to save on the road.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hello, Mike, Jennifer, and Bo. My name is Lisa, and I've been listening to your podcast for a while in preparation for hopefully getting a CS Adventurous in the next couple of months. I noticed that this upcoming podcast will be number 98, which means that episode 100 will be coming soon, and I was wondering if you have anything special in store for your 100th episode. Thank you. Looking forward to more great podcasts.
Can you believe that?
Wow. Can you believe 100?
We have.
So what do you got It's going to be special, Mr. Mike.
I was just going to ask you. I don't know. Should we do something special on the 100th? What do you do for the 100 episodes?
I don't know.
Can you believe that some people have actually listened to us put this in their ear for 100 hours?
Gee, we ought to send them a free hat.
Don't say that. They'll all want one. Oh, my. What do we do? Do we have a special episode for 100? Can you believe we have done 100 episodes?
No, I can't believe that.
Wow. And I kind
of
remember.
Know when you got this idea, I thought it was a silly idea.
Oh,
and,
you know, I did too. I mean, I thought it'd be fun because I love radio. I grew up doing radio.
You
That's
did.
How I started
when
in
I
the media.
When I first started dating you, you were, yep. Before you went to school, you had a radio
loved
show.
Radio.
And then you signed off at night and you had a computer call-in talk show a few years back.
Yeah, that was fun. But this is really fun because I think we connect so much better with people. There's something so personal about a podcast, about having, like we say every week, they put us in their ear, for crying out loud. That's pretty personal.
Well, you know, it's family. You know, we share a common joy in being out there camping and traveling.
Yep. Well, we are family. Well, listeners, if you have any, how should we celebrate 100 episodes? What do you think? A couple of things are coming to mind, but I won't say anything. I'll see if we get some suggestions from listeners, and we'll go from there. But anyway, Lisa, thank you for that very encouraging call. It's so fun to hear that. Okay, here's a call came in from Dorinda.
Yes, I am looking for a back side mirror, window for my new, it's a 2099 Road Trek 190 Popular, and I'm having trouble finding a place to replace my back window. Thank you.
Well, we certainly can relate to that.
Yeah, we've experienced that a couple times.
Yeah, well, we've had two windows that go out, and let me just give you the good news. You're not going to find them from a local glass company, but you will find them from Road Trek. So call the Road Trek factory in Kitchener, Ontario, and tell them that you lost a window, and they will send you what you need. You can arrange to purchase a replacement with them, or however they'll take care of it. So call them. That's where you need the window from. Now the second thing is installing it is a little bit of a challenge. We lost the I guess it was the passenger side rear window, the ones that crank out a little bit. We lost that. It shattered. We're not sure whether it was vandalism or a rock or whatever it is, but we lost that earlier this summer. And I got the immediate replacement from Road Trek, but I had the darndest time getting somebody to fix it. And here's the deal. These repair shops, at least we live in a big city, and if they don't order the part, which they can jack up the price on, they're not interested. So, I mean, I was going to them and say, hey, can you fix this? Oh, yeah, we can fix that. But they wanted to order the part and then pass on, a huge increase. So I said, no, I got the part. They sent it to me. Well, they weren't interested in doing it. And finally, the folks at Road Trek, I said, nobody will do it. I took it to like four or five places. Nobody would do it. And Road Trek sent me the instructions, and it was so simple. It was so simple. I won't say how I did, but we had one of the mobile service crews come out. I won't say which one it was. And the guys said, they would really want you to bring this into the shop. And he said, I'll just do it for you. So I slipped him $20 or something. And
probably wasn't enough, because I think it would have been about $200 if he'd taken it to the
shop.
Well,
he was very happy. I mean, it took him 3 minutes, literally. So, Dorinda, save yourself some problem. Don't try and have one of these guys find it. Just call Road Trek and get it. And then you need to find somebody that will put it in for you.
And I think it depends on where you live, in a small town versus big city, because we had a window break in our son's small town, and people
in
were
Georgia.
Just so nice, and they fixed it. There was no issue, just
none.
Nothing but nice.
I am really convinced that it's the big town, so are they trying to grouch? Yeah, that's true. That was last fall. Somebody, it was a football, some kids playing football, shattered the side window, and they hit it just right. And it was a high school football team, and they were all out there practicing, and I just was too close. But we got the replacement glass from Road Trek, and the local dealer down there put it in with no problem, was delighted to do it. I think he charged $50 for installation, something like that.
I don't know. It wasn't. I don't even know if it was $50.
Yeah, it was just, but Jennifer's right. It is small town. Small town people just seem to value their work, and big guys.
Maybe they don't have all the overhead.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I think You know, I just think people are nicer in small towns. But okay, anyway, so Dorinda, order the part from Road Trek, and then find an installer who will come and do it for you, and you won't have any problems. All right, here's another question that came in.
Hi, I loved your video. Considering making the switch to a road trekking lifestyle, I have a question about, I'm assuming that your Adventurous is powered by diesel. I've never owned a vehicle powered by diesel before. I wondered about its efficiency, about how easy it is to find places with diesel. I guess if you're on main highways, that's not a problem. But if you're kind of doing the blue highways thing, how easy is that? And then what is the expense like, and what kind of mileage do you get? Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing about your road trip.
Well, we like diesel. First of all, diesel gives you a lot more power. The engines, they just pull and pull you right up, or they push you up the hill, and they just do a terrific job. So I love the power of diesel. And, you know, it's actually easier to find diesel on the smaller highways sometimes than it is in bigger cities, because
I know we've had issues a few times trying to find diesel, but and then we've had issues just trying to find gas sometimes, because if you get out west, you have to not let your tank get too empty.
Yep, and my big pet peeve is you're driving down the, it's usually the interstate, you're driving down the interstate in the middle of nowhere, and you'll see a sign on the road, gas. And they'll even list the name of the station, and maybe they'll say diesel, maybe they won't. And you get off, and then it says it's that way, it's left or right, and you drive and you drive and you drive, and it's miles, not just, you know, right off the freeway or the interstate as you would hope. But that said, I think diesel is generally more available in smaller towns than it is in cities, because everybody has a truck. Or a diesel vehicle.
That's true. Yeah.
Out west.
A lot of trucks out west.
Yeah. And price-wise, I mean, like today we filled up twice. We drove from about 500 miles today, and
not the 350 rule.
That's not a 350 rule, but we had to get to a baseball game. So we filled it up twice, and I paid $209 down in Florida, North Florida, and then we paid $199 in Mississippi. So.
Well, gas is cheaper. Usually down here. Yeah. Our Michigan gas is very pricey because we have so many taxes.
Yeah, and they change it for seasonal mixes in the north and in cold weather states. So, so price-wise, it's not bad at all. And the only issue is sometimes you'll pull into a gas station, and for me, it's a pet peeve, and I want to pull up to a pump just like a car, because I can do that in a Class B. But some stations have diesel out where the 18-wheelers go, and those are those great big pumps. The water just goes whoosh, or the gas goes whoosh. The diesel fuel is through this massive fire hose-like thing, and I always end up spilling on myself. But I like to be able to pull up to a regular gasoline-type pump in a station and have it be diesel as well. So, and those are usually the last two on one end of the gas station or not, you'll find diesel. So very, very minimal issues, but I think the reason you want diesel is the power that diesel has. It's really, really has a lot of power to
diesel's
your engine. Diesel's
been around a long time.
Yep, it has. So there you go. All right. Now, the main thing we're going to talk about in the title of our story today has to do with budgeting. And it came about because of a phone call, a voice message that we got from a new RVer, or a would-be RVer, called Barack.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. Could you address the typical monthly or annual budget you guys have for your RV lifestyle? Thanks so much.
Well, we don't really have an annual budget for our RV lifestyle. Maybe we should have a budget for our lifestyle, period.
Well, you asked that question on your road trekking page, and everybody had great answers for all those who do keep track.
Yep, we'll share some of those in just a second. But a couple of things that you know, number one, I think you can generally plan on about $100 a day. If you're traveling, you're going to probably fill up once a day, and you're going to get some food or have food, and you're going to need a campsite, And if you budget $100 a day, I think you're really good.
I think that's $100 a day is very generous for most people because they look for the free places to camp and they bring food.
Yep, and that's true. If you're bringing food, if you're Walmart on the way out, you know, just taking free overnight stays, if you're boondocking, all that's going to be cheaper. But in general, if you plan $100 a day, you're going to be more than set for your whole vacation. So say you're going out for 30 days, figure $100, take a $3,000 budget, and you're going to do real well. And as you'll hear in a moment, as we start sharing some of the answers we get, there are all sorts of other contingencies that come there. But, you know, don't get too carried away with the budget. You're going to eat, right? You're going to eat at home. You're going to eat out on the road. So that price does not have to change much at all because you can prepare your meals in your RV just as you do at home. If you eat out a lot, well, you can eat out on the road a lot too, and all of that. So I don't think you have to worry much about food.
I'm listening to you, and I'm looking at Karen Chaplin. We budget $500 a month at home, so we have that for our food on the road. I do a lot of prepping and freezing ahead of time, use the crock pot and the sink, and they usually plan about $50 a day for camp fees and eating out. The gas is just the gas, so they keep that separate. Then they have their normal budget for entertainment, and we each have our mad money, which is allotment. So basically, it costs us $1,500 a month plus gas.
Now, that's you're reading from
Karen,
the Road Trekking group on Facebook, because when I got this question before we recorded today, I put it up on the Facebook group and asked some of our community there to share their experience with us, and some of them, most of them left us a pretty good account of how they budget, but Sue left us a voicemail. Here's Sue.
Hi, Mike. Calling about the budget costs. One thing that we didn't account for originally was travel miscellaneous. For example, entrance to see a national park or a guidebook we might want to buy, just so entrance to any type of amusement, things like that. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that's she brings up a good point, doesn't she? Because there are pretty cool things you'll find out there, right?
Yeah. There's lots of cool things out here. I'm still looking at Karen's budget of $500 a month for food.
What do we spend for food?
I'm not telling people what we spend for food, but I also include laundry detergent.
Maybe I should find out.
No, it's a bit embarrassing how much we spend.
It's just the two of us and Bo.
Yeah, but I wonder if she puts all the other things in there too. I'm not telling anybody what we spend.
All right, well,
you better keep working, boy.
Let's see. Lee wrote a pretty good point about budgeting. She said we joined Boondockers Welcome for $20. That's a great online site, Boondockers Welcome. Write that down. It helps you find places you can stay for free. It costs $20 a year, but you get lots of free places you can stay from it, so it's well worth that price. And anyway, she says, we've stayed at multiple homes in our travels. We have saved so much in campground costs as well as making new friends along the way. We've done freezer meals to cook in the crock pot to save as well. We love Cracker Barrel restaurants. We normally share a dinner and sleep in their parking lot. We do that too sometimes. Boondockers Welcome is a great site, finding a place to stay for free. And that is always good. Crockpot meals, you've talked about that, Jennifer, before. So
yes.
Yep. And so anyway, you can read about that on our Facebook group, which we have a link always on the show notes here. What else do we got here?
Well, we've got Mary Jane Curry. Everybody knows Mary Jane. She puts those great recipes up, and she posted how they're heading out tomorrow on a 3-week road trek adventure, and they've done the following to cut cost and know that will be and they know what they're going to be spending. Their planning started 5 months ago. And they reserved the places that they're going to stay. They planned where they're going to go, and they booked all their spots so that, you know, it's good. They've got the state parks mainly, and they know where they're going. So planning ahead, that's a big thing. So their journey is going to take them along the coast of California and Oregon. And they know that this is a really busy time of year, summer. You know, it's hard to get spots, so that planning and booking ahead of time. And then, of course, the driveway camping with family and friends. You can plan that in your budget. But, you know, when you stay in their driveway or somebody invites you for dinner, then you normally give them a gift. So, you know, but that's worth it because to build friendships and to see people that you know. So, and then they'll do some boondocking, and so they plan ahead, and they prepare as much food as they can ahead of time so that they're not buying out.
Yeah. Now, Mary Jane just retired, by the way, so congratulations to you, Mary Jane. She notes campgrounds, and she estimates $28 to $35 a day for campgrounds with some variance. And I think, based on our experience, that's probably pretty accurate, maybe a little optimistic, because if you stay at a KOA, we found their prices are more.
Usually about 45.
45 for full hookups at a KOA.
Mm-hmm.
State parks, 25 or so, but there's always that extra fee at a state park.
The stickers, when you don't live in that state.
Yep, if you're a non-resident. So you want to understand that. And then, of course, if you stay in a Cracker Barrel parking lot or a Cabela's parking lot or a Walmart parking lot, there's no charge there. And that offsets it. So, well, good luck to you, Mary Jane. Thank you for sharing that. She said she's expecting, maybe just read it for me. She said she's using a portable drip coffee maker. She says one night out for dinner is $18 to $22 each. We plan on repeating this cycle every 4 days, so our food budget will run approximately $325 for the two of us, she and her husband Jeff, for 21 days. Campground costs will run less than $500 as we'll have 7 days of intermittent driveway camping. Well, Mary Jane has really thought it all out.
She has. Must be a firstborn.
Must be. That's not Jennifer and me. We're the babies of our family. We just go. It works out. All right, here's one that came in from Jim Blair, one of our Facebook group regulars. And Jim says, I closely tracked expenses the first year we road trekked, traveled 10,000 miles, and spent $100 plus nights in our 210P, our 210 popular road trek. All right, costs were in four categories, he says. Gas, campsites, food, excursions, everything goes on one credit card. That's what we try and do as well. After all the details, short trips, month-long trips, state parks and boondocking, eat-in, eat-out, hikes and entry fees, he says it averaged just under $100 a day. That's what I said earlier. That's what I said the figure you're going to spend. Some short trips were $50 a day. Some longer with more gas were $125 a day. With that in mind, I no longer keep track of specifics. I just check the credit card balance and adjust accordingly.
I think that sounds like an easy way of doing it.
Now, I use, and I'll mention this in our tech tips of the week coming up in just a couple of minutes here, but I use a program called QuickBooks Online. And that means I can access all of my credit card accounts, all of my bank accounts, do everything I need online, on the road. And I really like that credit card thing because I can see exactly what I've spent, keep track of it. I can reconcile it with my checkbook. And his idea of using one credit card is a really, really good idea. What else do we get from Facebook?
Well, we have Cindy Haddock said that they did a 17,000-mile trip to Canada, Alaska, the west coast of the U.S., for approximately $6,000 for 5 months being on the road, total cost. And over half of that $6,000 was for fuel. And they ate out once a week. They were doing the boondocking the majority of the time. And then there were the other expenses. And they have since quit keeping such detailed records and just have fun.
That's my kind of travel, Cindy. I think that's a great way to do it. Let's see. Tom.
Well, you know, Michael, someday we're going to end up having to wash dishes.
We probably will. Tom Hensley wrote, we were on the road in our 1998-190 versatile from April 1st through May 31st, 2016, from Northern Virginia to San Diego. And he said, back on lots of blue roads and wonder what's over there, site excursions. They just took their time and had a lot of fun. 61 days, 60 nights, of which 11 were in federal campgrounds, 21 in commercial campgrounds, 6 in city parks. And then he breaks it down even more. Oh my gosh, he kept track of everything. We also boondocked, no charge, 21 nights. And he says, we averaged 13.1 miles an hour using 703 gallons of gas at an average cost of $2.23 a gallon. My goodness, he's figuring this out. Maybe we should, but we're going to eat anywhere we are, and usually we don't eat out much more than at home and don't consider that as an extra expense. So anyway, there's some examples from Tom. Let's look at one more and see what they have to say.
Well, Diane's our kind of person here. She says the way she sees it is you have to eat no matter where you are. So we don't even think about food as part of our budget. I try to bring as much prepared food from home as possible so that we don't need to go out to eat unless we want to do so. It's so convenient to go to our little fridge and freezer for already prepared food and not have to depend upon eating out.
Well, there you go. So there's a quick idea of what's involved in budgeting. And somebody asked earlier on in the questions, and I realized I was reading that they asked what we averaged with our diesel. And I checked today, I was 15.7 miles an hour, a gallon. That's what I got on the diesel. Sometimes we'll get 17. Depends on whether you have a headwind. Now, remember our unit, which is the CS Adventurous XL, it's a little extra long. That's what the XL stands for. And we have a lot of lithium ion batteries, and they are very heavy. So my unit weighs a little bit more than most
of
them.
Yes, we're not going to get as good a gas mileage as others do.
And our RS Adventurous, the very first road truck we had, we got 21 miles
yeah,
a gallon.
Yeah, it was great. Nobody could believe it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was great. But now with all this technology and in a headwind today, it was 15.7. Still not bad. But not bad at all.
And I drove a lot, and I don't drive as evenly as you do.
Well, there you go. I think you drive great. You're an excellent driver.
That's because you want me to keep driving.
You got it. All right, my dear. Well, thank you so much. And
My pleasure.
Listeners, thank you very much for the questions. Our Facebook group and community, thank you for helping us with that. And to Barack, who is a potential new RVer and is about ready to head out, I hope that gave you a quick idea of what you can expect out there. I think the bottom line when you take it all thing is don't stress out too much. Just enjoy yourself.
You know, I think we found the perfect time to do this podcast because last week Bo was ripping into us. Tonight, Bo is sleeping on top of the cord.
I should
he's
take a picture.
He's all worn out. He's right in between us, so he wants to be with us, and he's laying on top of the cord.
I took a picture of Bo last week.
He was ripping me apart.
And tonight he is sound asleep on the floor. Okay,
sleeping
there you go,
like
Bo.
A baby.
I'll put that up as well. All right. Well, thank you, dear. Thank you, everybody else, for all your help in helping us.
Everybody was very helpful.
They certainly were. Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. These guys, these three dealerships, they specialize in Class B RVs. They really do. And they have them from all of the major manufacturers, Road Trek, Leisure Travel Vans, Pleasure Way, and others that you may not even be aware are out there. If you're looking for a Class B, a B+, maybe even a small C, Class C, you go to these guys, Van City RV, Creston RV, Wagon Trail RV. Here's Danny from Van City RV, who's going to tell us about some of their specials.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great special on a new 2016 Road Trek 190 Popular. This unit has the twin bed floor plan, large solar panels, and it's ready to roll. You can check that out at vancityrv.com or call us at 1-800-467-3905 for a great out-the-door price. I also have a 2015 Winnebago Era with 17,000 miles. Great unit with a slide-out on a regular van. You can check that out at vancityrv.com or give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
Time now for RV basic training. Tips, tricks, and how-to info to make you a happy camper.
Well, you know, even if your work does not need to be done in an office, it can be very hard to work when you travel. And I get probably more questions about this than anything else. People want to know, how can I do a lot more RV travel and still work from the road? Well, it depends, of course, on your occupation, but there are lots of things that you can do. You might be a freelancer, for example. Maybe you own your own business. You maybe are able to telecommunicate with your work and the job you have now. That's a big trend across North America. That's something, well, what does it make any difference if you telecommunicate, if you telecommute from your RV or from your sticks and bricks home? But there are lots of things you can do. Now, I'm going to put some links on the website for you who are looking at ways that you can spend more time traveling and still earn some money on the road. One is a great article I found from the folks at Lifehack. that helps you get thinking in the right direction. And then the folks at Technomedia have put together a free guide to various things that you can do to earn money while you're traveling. Lots of different jobs that you can find out there. I mean, there are a gazillion of them. Things you can do to supplement your income, like maybe you have an artistic talent and you show up at some of those art shows around the country and you make stuff and sell them there. If you are a computer technician, if you have some computer skills, some IT skills, it's a great freelance market for you. You can find lots and lots of things you can do. But you know what you do and how you make money, and you want to know how you can do that on the road. Well, along with that, there are lots of things that you probably need to start to think about to make that really happen. So let me talk about things. Now, these are keys to long-term travel. I mean, if you're only going out there for a weekend or a week, well, you could try, make the effort, and see if you could do some of the work. But I'm going to give you some steps, I think, that'll simplify whatever it is you're doing and still being able to work a little bit on the road. The first thing you got to do is whatever equipment that you have, you got to downsize it. Now, you can't do your job without all sorts of stuff, and you can't do it without a lot of gadgets when you're on the road. You want to have reference manuals, all those stuff, but do you really want to carry all that stuff with you every place you go, in whatever travels that you have planned? So look for places to minimize. Reference manuals, for example. You don't need to take paper copies of them. Most now are available on PDFs, and you might be able to find all of the ones that you need for your RV, as well as your computer and anything else that you do. Just take electronic files. Get used to reading those manuals online. As a general rule of thumb, if it can fit in your luggage, it's too much. You don't want to put it in your luggage. You want to put it on your computer or on your smartphone or on your tablet. So downsize all that paper stuff that you had to take with you. And plan your schedule. I mean, you can be spontaneous. You can wander off into the wilderness if you want. But you should make sure that your clients or your employer know that you'll be unavailable for content when you're out wandering around the wilderness. Furthermore, much of the wilderness that I visited does have reliable internet access, but you got to know the right spots. So check that out ahead of time. Where can you get internet access? Say if you're going to Yellowstone, throughout the whole park? You can't. I'll tell you right now, you can't. But there are some places that you can. I have a place near a campground near the Hayden Valley that I have a little area. There's a little hill there that I can get solid 4G coverage on. But I walk 50 yards either way of that, and I don't. So I park my little RV up there, and I do my business when I'm in Yellowstone, and it works great. So do some research ahead of time. Make sure you know that you do have internet access. Schedule yourself to be in places that have access when you need it. And don't forget, when you get into an area that doesn't have internet access, there aren't many in this country now, but you'll find some. Remember, almost every McDonald's, every fast food place now makes it available free, and you can get online easily there. Same with any public library. Here's a big tip. Check your insurance. Not all insurers cover freelancers or those who work from their RV on the road. I learned this the hard way. I ended up just taking a regular RV insurance policy. I had a claim, and it turned out they denied it because they said I was using the RV for business, which I guess I technically was, since I was traveling around the country and writing stories, and the RV was the subject matter of much of it. So I bit the bullet, and I had to buy, and it cost more insurance, but next time I have a claim, I'm good. I'm covered. I won't have any surprises. So I urge you to do the same thing. Check out your insurance. Do you need business insurance if you're going to be working for the road? My insurance agents tell me, yep, you do. So check that out. Something else you want to do, automate as much as possible. Now, when you're on the road, you are likely to have bills like your insurance payments. You're going to have to schedule payments. So get your bank, get an online account with them. Do e-pay, e-bills with all of your credit cards. I happen to use one or two credit cards for all my business expenses, and I pay them all online. I also use a program called QuickBooks Online. and it's the same QuickBooks program that most businesses have. I find it absolutely essential. I can write checks, I can make payments, I can handle and balance my checkbook, all of this stuff while I'm on the road from anywhere. So check that out. So make sure you automate your bill payments as much as possible. And then make sure you double check things like your prescription medications. I mean, if you require prescription meds, and most people do these days, at least something, it's up to you to make sure you can get a refill wherever you go, especially if you lose your meds. So that's more of a personal issue, I know, but you won't be able to work if you're not feeling so well. So make sure you have a way, you know, either through Walmart or CVS or Walgreens, one of those national chains, and you should be able to always be able to have access to your prescription meds and be able to get an emergency refill if you need it. A couple other points I want to talk about. Have a backup plan. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, travel presents literally hundreds of opportunities for you to do all sorts of things, including losing stuff, such as a laptop. You'll want to be able to have access to all of your data, and you want to be able to back it up on a regular basis to a central location, and that is the cloud. So if a lot of guys I know who are out there RVing and working on the road have hard drives, and they back everything up on that, particularly like photographers I know, and I do that myself. I back everything up to another hard drive, but I also do it to the cloud. It takes a little extra time. And once you get in the habit of it, it's there, and you have such peace of mind because you know that if you lose everything, if something breaks, you're not in a crisis situation. You can find it. A last thing I want to talk about, adapt. You will have to adapt. A traveling lifestyle, and that's the beauty of it, is full of surprises. That's half the fun, isn't it? Getting out, doing new things. If you've managed to automate the things that you normally worry about, and if you've got a system where you work a couple of hours and have fun and travel and do it all, you're under control, but you want to be able to adapt. What if you find, you know, the perfect fall color, for example, up at 8,000 feet in Colorado come September? You want to be able to get to it and get those pictures, and that might mean having to adapt your schedule a little bit, so be flexible. Now, as to what you can do to earn your money, well, I don't know. What do you do to earn it now? And then do some checking to find out if you can do it on the road. And you'll find that most people can do most things and still travel a lot. Now, maybe not at full time, but you can do a lot more of it than you think. So anyway, hope this helped. And I've gotten lots of questions from people who do it. I'll be happy to answer more questions as in future episodes, but that's how we do it. All right, this part of the podcast brought to you by Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. Campers Inn is a pretty neat place. They have an incredible story, really. In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob and David and Jeff, wanted to break out on their own, and so they invested their family's life savings. They bought four folding tent trailers, and they started to sell them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts. That was in 1966. Well, their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life. 50-plus years later, three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. Now, I can't even begin to describe all of the different RVs that they offer, but they have them all. Their professional staff, their certified trained service personnel are all driven by that same commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect. You check them out. If you're looking for an RV, you're looking for service for your RV, looking for a used RV, a new RV, Campers Inn. You need to check them out. They are awesome. CampersInn.com is the website.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news. Travel news. Tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, big news for the RV industry, and that RV sales continuing to soar. They keep pinching themselves at dealerships across the country because wholesale prices, wholesale shipments, I should say, to retailers of all different types of RVs continued to just race ahead. They've reached 40,000 1,000 plus units in the RV Industries Association June survey of manufacturers. They do this every month, and they found that shipments in June were 18.7% above June in 2015. They marked the third monthly total in excess of 40,000 units. The industry is booming. Year-to-date, June's totals pushed RV wholesale shipments to 226,286 units. That's an 11.7% increase over the same period last time. What is selling the fastest and the best? Which one do you think? You know, there's Class A motorhomes, there's Class B, Class C. There's folding campers, you know, pop-ups. There's truck campers, fifth wheels. What do you think is the best? What do you think is selling the most? What do you think? The biggest increase. You ready for it? It's not Class A's. They were up big. They were up 21% in June over the previous June. It's not Class C's. They were up big too, 25% in over the previous year. Fifth wheels, they were up 9.3%. Travel trailers, up 21%. Folding pop-ups, they were only up about 4.6%. Truck campers, they were down 3.4%. But where do you think the biggest growth was? It was in Class B motorhomes, 38.4% up in June compared to a June a year ago. The RV industry and all of them are excited, but particularly Class B makers, because that seems to be the sweet spot for the industry, at least at this time of the year. Hey, there was a really great story, and I'll put a link on the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/98. Has to do with a guy who just loves his wife. He tracked down his wife's childhood RV so she could recover some beloved memories that she had camping with her dad. This mom in Arkansas was given the surprise of a lifetime when her husband found one of the most important relics of her childhood, an old white RV trailer, a little towable trailer. When she was a little girl, Karis Farish's fondest memories were made traveling all over the United States with her mother and her dad. And then her dad was killed in a car accident in December of 2000. The RV was passed on to some new owners. Well, fast forward to her 15 years now after her dad's death, her husband, Micah, set out on a mission. He had heard all the stories of how much that trailer meant to his wife, and so he set out on a mission. He chased down the VIN number. He found the owners. He traced where it has been since their family got rid of it. And long story short, he was able to get it and surprise his wife from it. And there's a great video. I will link a YouTube video that they have on our, and I'll put that up on our show notes page. And you can see it. But what a happy story that was of a husband's devotion to his wife and bringing back some great memories by finding that vehicle, which had been well cared for, restored, and had actually been improved upon. And you'll see the story. I'll put a link on it. It's a great story. And speaking of great stories, there's also a happy ending to a story of a couple. This happened in Nebraska. A couple who were scammed and stranded. This Texas couple were pretty upset. They were really excited. They drove to Omaha because they had found what they thought was a great bargain purchase on a motorhome that they wanted. And they got there. They found that this was all a scam, that they did not get a break in life and get this RV. And so there they were, scammed out of a lot of money, and had found out the truth. And the woman said, you know, when you're desperate, you overlook things. Charlotte Ritchie, Ken Posey, found this RV for sale online. She said, I was going to have a kitchen where I could cook again. Emails told them that the female seller of this motorhome was in the military and being deployed, and the scammer said that the RV belonged to a recently deceased husband, and that was the reason for a low price of $2,000. There are such things as good things happening. We needed a place to live. We thought this was our chance, said the woman. Well, they went to pick up the RV themselves. They wouldn't have to pay a shipper any money. They drove out there. They got there. The only property they said they found in their name all the way from Texas, the only thing they had was this little 1994 car, a little Pathfinder car they had. They took that 14-hour drive. and they found that they had been scammed. There was no RV. Anyway, the local TV station, WOWT, got a hold of it. And there's good news to this. Their local Six on Your Side team at the TV station reported that after they did this story, some of their viewers, a couple of their viewers, Jess and Ariane Anderson, gave the couple a used RV. They stocked it with donated groceries and paper products and linens and toiletries. They even had an Ashland mechanic come by there in Nebraska and check it all out for them. And the couple is thrilled. They've now got an RV. It's not what they thought they were getting, but perhaps even better. All right, that's our RV News of the Week, brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. The only name to know in heat when it comes to your RV. The Aldi heating system for RVs is hydronic, and that means it's like that high-end heat you find in homes, and really high-end homes, luxury homes, estates. It's that beautiful baseboard heat that they have. Well, it's transferred to an RV. This hydronic system brings all those features and benefits that, well, you can't find it with any other heating system for an RV. The Aldi hydronic system is a silent radiant heat. It provides a warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets. It's great for humans. Gives you increased interior space because it combines essentially two systems in one. It's efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC and will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over a forced air. I mean, it is a really great great system for you. And you get all these great amenities and options. The one Jennifer and I like best, of course, is the heated floors. Oh, my goodness, that's nice on those cold fall mornings and evenings. And even in the winter when we camp, we can pad around barefoot or in our stocking feet, and that floor is heated. I love it. You can only get it with Aldi, and Aldi's now available on many different RV platforms. Many different manufacturers have it, but you got to ask for it. Tell your dealer that you want Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when it comes to choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Well, whether you are at home or on the beach, a good chunk of the country is certainly dealing with hot, humid weather. Have you noticed? It's, I think, the second, third week in a row. Some of them reaching dangerous levels. We were in Memphis, as I said earlier at the program, and it was 100 degrees here today. Very humid as well. Well, with the right amount of precaution, you can avoid health issues, and I found some great apps that will help you counter all of these sweltering conditions that you encounter as you do your travel around the country. So I'm going to give you three apps. I'll link to them all in the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/98. You'll find them there. So if you're driving, you don't have to write them down. But first one's called Hydrated. I with a D-R-A-T-E-D, Hydrated, get it? Anyway, this app oversees your water intake. It sets this daily target of hydration. It's based, by the way, on your gender, your age, your weight, and how much exercise you get. And it can even tell you your level of hydration at any given moment. It sends alerts when another drink is due. This is really good, especially if you're outside a lot. I like this app. It's free for iOS. When it comes to working outside, a lot of you doing tasks outside, well, OSHA has a heat safety tool that it's developed by the U.S. Department of Labor to allow workers and their supervisors to calculate the heat index for specific work sites, and it displays a risk level, sending reminders of, you know, about things like drinking enough fluids and scheduling breaks. This is great. You're out there, maybe you're working on your RV and you're out in hot weather. Use this app. It'll tell you. It helps you adjust your schedule. It's free. It works. There's a version of it for iOS and Android. That one's called the OSHA Heat Safety Tool. And the third one is really good, too. This kind of helps you avoid getting too much sun. It's from the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. It's their Sunwise UV Index app, and it provides a daily, hourly even, forecast of ultraviolet radiation from the sun, delivering location-based information, uses a color-coded system so you can know when the UV index is the highest, wherever you happen to be, makes it easy to plan the day. Again, it's free for iOS and Android. So links to all those on the show notes page under Tech Tips. Just go to roadtrekking.com/98. Now, our pal, because this part of the program is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable 4G LTE network. Our pal Steve Van Dinter from Verizon tells us some cool tech stuff that is about to become available. Listen up. Here's Steve.
Hi there, Mike. When it comes to new smartphones, I'll bet most people think there's not much of a differentiation anymore. Well, that's changing this week with the introduction of the Moto Z and Moto Z Force. Now, what's cool about these phones isn't just their sleek looks or amazing battery life. It's the fact that you can enhance the phones themselves by magnetically attaching superpowers to them with Moto Mods. Now, Moto Mods instantly transform your phone into an entirely new device, like a portable theater. With the Moto InstaShare projector, you just snap it onto your phone and you can share vacation photos and even a movie. The projector includes an integrated kickstand, up to 70-inch projection, and a built-in battery for up to an extra hour of projection time. With the JBL SoundBoost speaker, you instantly get powerful stereo sound that's perfect for a backyard party. The speaker features a kickstand, a built-in battery for 10 hours of playtime, and speakerphone capabilities. And finally, we've got the Tumi and Kate Spade New York Power Packs. You can add up to 22 hours of battery life to your phone without adding bulk. Simply snap on and forget about finding an open wall outlet to charge. The Moto Z and Moto Z Force phones will be available in Verizon stores and online this Thursday, July 28th. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, this one comes to us from a listener named Al. And before you hear Al's report on why he thinks Marathon, Florida needs to be on your must-visit list for off-the-beaten-path stuff to see and do, let me tell you that you can have your report done, too. I'd love to hear it. You know, you visit places all the time, and you tell your friends and neighbors, well, tell everybody that listens to this podcast. Just use the Leave Voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Just click that. You can use the computer microphone like Al did and phone in your off-the-beaten-path report. I'd love to get it. So, without any further ado, here's Al.
Hi, Mike. Al Richards here from Ontario, Canada. Just wanted to drop by, say hi, and thank you and Jennifer for the wonderful job that you're doing with your weekly podcast. The other thing I'd like to talk about is one of my favorite winter destinations, and that's Marathon, Florida. For those of you who don't know, Marathon is a bustling town about 2-hour drive south of Miami. They have lots of good RV parks in the area, and as well they have three state parks that accept RVs. Now, my favorite state park would be Bahia Honda State Park. It's just south of Marathon at the end of the 7-mile bridge, and they have a lot of good sites, full service, and some of the sites are actually on the ocean, but if you're contemplating on going to any of the state parks, well, I would strongly recommend that you book up early because they do this and sell out quite quickly. Now, some of the things that you may want to check out when you're Marathon is the aforementioned world-famous 7-mile bridge. Also, the Dolphin Research and Marine Center there is a very nice way to spend an afternoon. You can feed the dolphins and do all that kind of stuff. And they also have a lot of marine exhibits. Another good spot to visit is the Crane Point Nature Center. A lot of local history and a bit of a museum there. And lots of burning opportunities. And according to the internet, the number one attraction in Marathon is the Turtle Hospital. Now, that's quite interesting to the recover turtles and nurse them back to health. Now, Marathon is also famous for its great fishing and fantastic restaurants. But my main attraction for Marathon is the warm winter weather. Even when it's a little cold up north, Marathon is usually generally 5 or 10 degrees warmer, and that sometimes makes all the difference. Now, if you run out of things to do in Marathon, then I recommend just hopping on one of the local buses there and taking a 1-hour drive down to Florida Keys to the Key West area. It's just a short bus ride away, and that is one fantastic little town with lots of museums and many other attractions. Anyway, I hope that you find this little podcast add-on here informative, and thanks again for the great show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye, and thank you very much, Al. And if you, again, have a tip for us and you'd like to pass on your favorite off-the-beaten-path report, just use that leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com website. We would love to hear from you. And, you know, whether you're going to Marathon or anywhere off the beaten path, you're going to need a place to stay in your RV, and that's where the All Stays app comes in so handy. All Stays is the Internet's number one RV and camping app, has been since 2010, providing traveler information for 16 years with a free website, enhanced subscription website, and an awesome app. In fact, their camp and RV app is the number one camping app and has been since 2010. Works on all platforms. All the data is stored inside the app. That means speed and constant information, even if you lose cellular service. Most points also have text directions inside the app. So what do you get? Well, you get lists. I mean, camping spots of every kind, from private resorts, county parks, down to roadside pull-offs in the forest, boondocking places you can filter by camping type. It takes a look at your location based on your smartphone and shows you what's around, where you need to go. You can filter your searches that you're looking for with over 30 different amenities. Say you want just a laundry and you want full hookups, you want a subway at a truck stop, it'll tell you all of that stuff. Where the next rest area is, whether the Walmart down the road will let you stay there, it's got all of that information. All Stays. Look it up on your app store. It is absolutely the best one you'll find anywhere.
America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
All right, episode number 98 is in the proverbial can. You know, I guess that's an old film tool, and they don't use film anymore. They use everything digital, so there really is no can. Well, there you go. I guess you could call it a can, because they also call it earphones can, you know, the kind of big ones you wear on your head. That's what they say in the old radio days. Hey, put your cans on. Well, anyway, you're listening to us on your smartphone, maybe through your Bluetooth earbuds, whatever it is, maybe over the speaker of your computer, whatever it has been. We are delighted that you spent time with us. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, thank you for listening to us. New episodes of this podcast are released every Wednesday morning. And first time that you can do, the best thing you can do is just subscribe to it. Then it'll come automatically to your device, whatever device you want. Just subscribe. Also, please leave us a review. I love those 5-star reviews. They really help us get noticed in the very crowded travel category of podcasts. Well, anyway, I hope you're traveling and having a great time wherever you are. Thanks for putting us in your ear this week. We'll see you on the blog, on the Facebook group, and out there road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.